Since I got the first five-word spot, I'll take the first open spot. So I actually bringing a poem from a friend of mine, and I'm hoping that by reading it here, it inspires him to continue writing the beautiful poetry that he does, very personal. He actually writes in French, and but I had, I did, I'm not, can't, my French isn't strong enough to read it in French. But I worked with a translator and with him, so hopefully this will come out okay. So this is a poem by Remy. Bipolarity. Well, by the way, hopefully he's listening in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Bipolarity is a family friend. She has lived with us for several generations, an exemplary roommate. She did the dishes, swept the floor, made herself small and unnoticeable. Everyone in the family accepted and loved her. On beautiful summer afternoons, she helped my grandfather organize big feasts in the park for his gang of friends. Then at times, my grandfather had trouble getting up to go to work. I asked my grandmother, but she didn't have an answer for me. I asked my aunt. She told me that she remembers his gloomy and morose moods. She didn't understand either. When I was young and visited my dad, she got us to explore New York from top to bottom. She made us ecstatic, ambitious, and carried us in her subtle and feverish magic. But then at times, because of her, my dad slept all day, sometime for several days. I asked him why, but got no answers. I too loved her once. I think she wanted to live with me, yet I wasn't so sure. It was not that simple. Then I looked for bipolarity within me. I didn't find her. I searched hard. Finally, I understood. She was hidden behind my roommate, the one I never looked at, my roommate named Taboo. Taboo organizes herself so that we don't get near her. It's in her nature. She throws her silence in our face and makes our heads spin. No one questions the shitty attitude of my roommate. When I got old enough to create my own haven of peace, my home, I kicked Taboo out. I learned that the only way to be okay with her was to point a finger at her, refuse her silence. It was hard to move forward and heal. With courage, I looked her in the eye, observed her carefully, learned all her features, her quirks, her tics, and then was devastated. Here, I thought she was just my roommate, solely in my family. I realized that she was everywhere, hidden within all families. I hate her now. To talk about Taboo is a taboo. I think very hard about that. I'm open to suggestions. Can't wait to kick her out permanently. But at least she's not in my house anymore. Good news, right, Dad? I hope he keeps writing.
Thank you, Andre. Up next is Antonio, and everyone has a seat. There's some more up here if you need it.
Thank you. Room. There's space for this day. A room with a view. Wooden furniture. Only the light can cut perfectly the glass. A window is not enough to see. A balcony will give more room to the thoughts. The actual room is almost full. This room looks perfectly empty. This is a room, a living room, a dining room, a sleeping room. There's no room for the couch. These boxes can be put in that room. a room without space. No room for us. No room for me. No room for you. That diving in the walls to find an alternative room. Between rooms, linked yet closed each other. The paintings and the flowers on the shelves. There's only one room for them in the box. How many rooms would you have? Together in the same room. That room is not ideal. We have no room to put our things. There could be room under the bed. Every room is different. A room for five, a room to rest. There's still room for that. Imagine a room. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Colin Scully is up next.
I kind of don't like political poetry, but the way things are at the moment, and you know, you feel kind of obliged to write political poetry. So this is a political poem that I wrote, and it's about a certain inauguration that happened a couple of weeks ago there in America. It's called Life on Mars 2, because I had a poem called Life on Mars, which I read here a couple of times, and so this is called Life on Mars 2. And Phobos and Deimos are the moons of Mars, the two moons of Mars. Life on Mars 2. Phobos and Deimos rise together, a once in a thousand year occurrence. I stand on Valles Marineris and look beyond them towards Earth, pale and yellow, playing cat and mouse with its own moon. The last time it happened was 2025. That glorious afternoon, a sweltering -3, when our great saviour was inaugurated in the round room of the old capital. That's the day he told us he'd send men to Mars and plant the stars and stripes deep into the soft silica of Olympus Mons. No footage of that day exists. Burned up in the great fires, the inferno of the data centres. Still, he did it, and here we live today in our small colony. He said that God had saved him to save civilization. But where God is, we still don't know. A spaceship sent last year will search deep space. The shriveled Earth is tiny to the eye, but through a telescope I see its barren mountains, its dried up ocean floors. They say it once was green with deep blue seas before the transportations on SpaceX ships that brought us here through Century 25. I sit alone and wrap my chilled suit tighter in Station Baron Trump, just off the Ex-Musk Highway. I'm one of 12 left now, the guardians of our tribe, American humans. The rest, perhaps 36 on that redemptive trip on board the Millennia. The Melania, sorry. I see our own moons, Deimos rising for the second time, Phobos bright and slow. How pretty in the night those old gods are, against the night as black as sin. How lonely suddenly I feel, it makes me realise the good don't always win.
Margaret Cullum. Next up we have Elaine.
So this poem is called Sunrise over Farnree. In Farnree there are a few trees. Do people miss them, or is it just me? How can children grow and thrive without nature by their side? I walk into school with my head low, but wait, what is that over the city below? A beautiful sun that is starting to glow. It brings my attention way up high, and there it is, the bright blue sky. I breathe in the sky, its space so dear. Nature is everywhere, it's always here. So why do we rush inside so quick when there's so much more outside like this? Slow down, that's the trick, else these things we'll miss.
And we're going to jump online to Clive. Clive Osman.
Hello. Okay, once again, speaking out for something completely different.
Yes.
This is called Esmeralda. From a long line of oddballs, my aunt Esmeralda was, by all accounts, the most eccentric of all.
Hang on a minute. I forgot my mic was there. Right. I'll start that again because my mic wasn't... Right. From a long line of oddballs, my aunt Esmeralda was, by all accounts, the most eccentric of all. I never met her, but I think it would have been a fantastic experience. It's rumoured she put Uncle Percy in the tumble dryer when he got home after getting caught in the rain. But even though he was somewhat diminutive, I find this unlikely, if not impossible. The trouble is, getting any sense from anyone in my family is nigh on impossible, because if there was such a thing as the World Bullshitting Championship, the final would have been held in one of their houses every year. I think the more likely explanation for Percy's death was that she was 34 and he was 106, and she just wore him out. But if I say that, I'm accused of happilosity, and I don't know what happilosity means, but by the way they sweat and shake when they say it, I don't think it's a good thing. Esmeralda brought up their twin sons, Bubble and Squeak, the best she could after Percy died. She was very proud of them. My dad said Bubble was great at doing cartwheels, and Squeak broke the world high jump champ record and the school sports day. But then he also said the wheels fell off a bus that failed to stop for him, so a large pinch of salt is possibly necessary. What I do know is that when Bubble and Squeak left home, she sold the house, gave all the money to Save the Curtains, a charity set up to fight the advance of Venetian blinds, and went to live in a beer barrel in Cornwall. She passed away penniless a few months ago, and my kids, bless them, are holding a sponsored Russian roulette to raise funds in order to put a memorial plaque on her beer barrel. They're good kids, a sage and onion.
Thank you, Clive. I don't know how sensitive this mic is, but I wish you could hear all the laughs from around the room. You got plenty.
Yeah, I had plenty, which was great.
Good. Next up, Mona Lynch has been inspired again, I think. Have you?
No, I'm still waiting.
Can we adjust the volume in the back? Is it too loud back there? Oh, sure. Yeah. Do you want to do a little test one, too?
We have to go up and down all the time, actually.
Okay. Hello? Yeah. Hopefully this is something to look forward to. Spring. Music changes from a salting rain, the click of hail on trees stiff and bare, the susurrando of blanketing snow, to the bleating of lambs as earth bursts into wakefulness. Showing off its secret hoard, doled out slowly, bud by bud, under the joyous singing of spring birds. Gangly branches sport soft, leafy promises, announcing they know when to stage their dramatic full dress rehearsal. Heralding croaky morning choruses, anything asleep awakens full of joy. The pond of frogspawn, a a maze of black polka dots.
Gorgeous, Mona, thanks. And next up we have Ariola.
Feels like a fever dream being here. Yeah, I keep saying that because I think the last time I was here was pre-pandemic. So it's hybrid stuff that I'm reading. Doing an experiment, I'm gonna drag it, you'll see. The five word that was given on this one was cockroach, thread, sip, cascade, strand. By that point, a sip of wine was no longer enjoyable. Everything tasted bland as she found herself unemployable. Each strand of hair, no more care, stringy like polyester thread. How much longer was she supposed to bear isolation and boredom? Stubborn as a cockroach. Well, that's what people called her, resilient. But 6 months of being 90% alone has humbled her, or more like crumbled or rambled her. She stumbles to the couch. A cascade of emotions that have no release whatsoever anymore. See how far she has strayed? Laid there, legs spread wide, feeling inhuman. Closer to an alien that does not belong to whatever this mess is. Rolls around her stomach that never existed. Stinking of neglect and loss of self. Roaches what she rolls. Tokes all day is the new routine. Tokes and sips of bland wine. I hardly have a choice. I need to brace up. Got to keep my shit together. It's a difficult burden, a hard place to be in, but it'll all be worth it one day, I hope, as I try to remind myself the future is better. Hope is the currency I squander like it won't run out, but it's hard to keep shit together when the shit is all purging and pouring out non-stop, like my tears and the fears that keep me up at night or wake me up before the dawn. Sinking, stinking, smearing, swimming in a deep sea of shit. So much shit you can't see past it, can't escape it, can't clear it, can't flush it, can't bag it. No drainage hole, no reliable plumber to call. All the plumbers are busy because there's a shit pandemic. Houses full of shit, people full of shit, media full of shit. I am full of shit. Yet, like sweet corn, I refuse to be broken down, digested. I'm somehow this ray of yellow light, praying I'll be all right. A small speck, waiting and hoping I'll eventually find the exit hole and unblock it with my two arms and maybe my feet. And perhaps some might drain, but what I really need is lots of rain, a total washing of healing, loving, compassionate rain, floods of it. To flush it.
Go on, Ariola. Cash Ronan, get off here now.
So I'm going to read, first of all, it's great. Pam, you're here in the flesh. Ariola, you're here in the flesh. Great. I'm going to dedicate, this was Meg's favorite poem of mine, and she put fantastic music to it. So for Meg, Bridget. Cupped flame of sunbeams and snow, cosmic power of renewal. Oak sap rises to kiss your fingers. Spring tides bathe your feet. You are sketched moon, fractured sun, first flower of spring in a druid's fist. Born between two thresholds, you hold the hand of all labors. Our Mary of the Gale, we tie magic ribbons and rags to your holy wish trees, sing songs over ancient rivers. Protector of poets, smiths, healers, we kneel before your mantle of stars. Bridget, carried from Iona to Bethlehem. You inhale the dark, exhale the light. Very nice. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Catherine. Ozzy O'Regan is next.
I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. I'm going to try to sing a song for Mags. It's something I loved about Mags is she would always get up here and sing songs, and she was kind of composing them as she went, which I always thought was like insanely brave. So I'm going to be a little bit brave. Not lost, but gone before. Here no more, here no more. Each day the long light dims and fades, not lost but gone before. Creation sings, mountains spring, ages born through memory and lore. Upon a saw, tall timbers fall. Hear no more, hear no more. The light shines close, echoes low. Of your sweet voice, I weep and mourn. Upon a saw, tall timbers fall. Hear no more, hear no more. Not lost, but gone before. Hear no more, hear no more.
Thanks, Rosie. John Tynan, please.
Thank you. Winter caprice. My eyes birth joy. First lambs of the new year. But then, see, one is dead. Soft and splayed and speared by sable stubble. A mortal mite, bathed harsh in winter sun and woody drenched on surface mire. But then, see, one is still lived and licked and loved with yewly suckle. A blessed babe, suckered sweet in frigid field and pledged for butcher's sacrifice. So serene is the sepulchre and the sanguine amid caprice of nature.
Thank you, Jen. Next up is Cedric Bacon.
So this one was written having this very long midlife crisis going on since I'm at past 30, and this forced me to contemplate quite a few fights that had basically been putting off throughout life. And you know, you reach that point where you cannot escape anymore. You have to just look at it, stare it in the eyes, and get to it. So This one is about anger management and anger issues. It's called a raging bull. You are so angry that everything goes white. There is a taste in your mouth when you are there. The blood has rushed to your head. You can feel your heart pumping it. Words are just blurred sounds. And through, and though you are not bleeding, everything tastes of iron. More red and glow as fury takes hold, becomes a guide, yellow. Sparks are ready to fly with the next beat, stronger with every added prejudice. Your horns need quenching. Blood will do if the waters under the bridges have gone dry. Let me beat your heat. Put out your fires with kindness. I want to be the flowery meadow to this raging bull. See the reds and the whites and the yellows. Trample all you need. Roar, scream. I am the earth. I am blush. I am the green. You will be back to yourself, back to me. Your turmoil cannot follow you. This bug will steal your eyes. With every thump, every stomp, the overfed beast is reclaimed. This death of you drained until you can only cry. Bring me your reins, rest your head, feed my soil, let your rage be gone.
Brilliant, Cedric. Benjamin Burns is next.
I'd just like to say about Mags that she was always so kind and warm and brilliant, with a twinkle in her eye and consistently surprising on the open mic and in the five word challenge, and like brilliant with words, and I really, yeah, I love knowing Mags, and yeah, I just like to say that first. I've been writing haiku. This 100 haiku challenge, 100 day haiku challenge, and I've consistently missed days and stuff. But I'm keeping going anyway, and I've maybe written 23 haikus in like 35 days or something. But you know, it's better than, you know, I missed the odd one, but I read the first 7 the last time, so I won't read the next 23 minus 7. Look, I won't do 16, but I'll do some of them. Yeah, maybe I'll do all of them. The windscreen wipers clear the windscreen of droplets. I stole the engine. Backlit by streetlight, the curtains glow, perhaps too beyond that song thrush. This next one's from the point of view of the song thrush. Kind of considering like how, I mean, they usually would sing with the sun, but because they're a city song thrush, they sing with the streetlights. Lots of little suns are up in branchless trees. Up on my branch, I'm here. A herring gull glides across the waning moon. Flocks of people fly past. Nastya flips back her scarf. It lands on her face. It muffles her laughter. He was coked out of it, he says, then spits beneath a rose-pink sunset. A rook lands on a security camera, surveying the street. What exterior? The gorse flowers? The fragments of branches? My skin? Two crisp packets catch the wind. And look, a plastic champagne flute tumbling. A pied wagtail flits across the parked Toyota Aygo. Oh, sorry, I read that wrong. A pied wagtail flits expertly across a parked Toyota Aygo. I think I should do that from now on when I read that. I'll keep making that mistake. The phone watch alarms, red light blinks. From side to side, I pace with cold feet. The place where you were is now empty of you, but it is full of air. Pint in one hand, phone in the other, she curses at her crying child. Above the evening star, a jet casts a contrail through the crescent moon. The place where rolling tires meet tarmac. The out there, which in here is in. And this is today's one. Clouds conceal the sky's blue behind plywood hoarding where sparrows cheep cheep.
Thanks, Ben. That was great. You got some good feedback there as well, live feedback from the crowd. Yeah, that was brilliant. Your last haiku led beautifully into Sue Blue's performance.
So I think I'm going to do a poem that some of you might recognize. In this case, I'm going to do it for Max. Death of a loved one. We've come together in sadness. Sorrow envelops our souls, heavy like clouds or our hearts as we share the pain of your loss. You're missing within our circle. Release now, torn from ailment, release now from ailment and pain. To the realm of light above, we cry and recall your love. You've been so creative and wise, shared music, great art and healing. Your poems, so very appealing, will remember your spirit, your voice. So still, your body is empty, your tender touch is gone. Your eyes have closed forever, your breathing is all done. We're shaken with grief as we stand in mourning and disbelief. And even though hard to face, you're leaving this vast, empty space. The gap is sore like a wound. The voice, the void you leave, just echoes with silence, burning and cold. And we hug each other for hold. We know your nature's been caring. We know that your soul is now free. And as we lament your passing, we know you will be okay. You were taken away by the angels. A feather was left on the sill to rejoin the ocean of love. We'll be back of the crows, if you will. And although your woe is cutting, and although our woe is cutting like a double-sided knife, we know that your wish for your people is to exalt and rejoice in life. So we remember your poems, your music that fills us with smiles while holding on to each other and sharing the love you inspired.
Thanks for that, Sue. Missy Mags, her spirit is here. I remember that. I've forgotten who's next. It's, we're online on Poetry TV with Paul Dunnigan.
Hi. This poem is called Pauline Harbour, After the Storm. Getting out of the car, the harbour looks the same gash in the landscape as ever. The solid modern pier to my right is empty of its boats, moored away for winter. I take the path left down towards the beach, and there's the faded blue boat that always sits high up in the bracken and won't ever return to sea. Almost reaching it are mounds of oil-black seaweed, the storms, wind and waves flung on the rough grass, high above the tide line, with rope, plastic bottles, bits of net knotted through. I look in vain for the dead black and white seabird that floated in last summer to its last haven. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Next up, we have Connor McGowan.
Yep. I only started writing there a couple of weeks ago, and the first thing, oh, thanks. First thing I heard about O'Vale was that it was actually closing down, so very happy to hear now that it's staying on, so I came at the right time. So this poem now is about a lot of conversations that a lot of Irish families have, I think, just take away a different, or put in a different tragedy instead. It's called Chinese Whispers. The audience mutters to their left, the blame is passed around the crowd. The parents, it's awful for them. Would they not hide the key, share the same breath? My parents are talking about an 11-year-old's death by falling from a balcony while I'm eating. It makes me feel sick. Questions quickly rise and projectile out my mouth. Did they sleepwalk, peer over for a view? Never say the third thought out loud. Asher, it's too sad to think about. This girl's life summarized in a few short sentences. Tonight's entertainment, in lieu of a screen, we present Chinese Whispers. We agree and condemn their actions from the comfort of a kitchen where no 65-foot drop threatens us. I think of the flight home, one less window seat filled with chicken in my mouth.
Thank you so much, Connor. Next up we have Roxanne. Are you okay?
I actually have a happy announcement. 2 weeks ago, I celebrated 5 years in Ireland, which I didn't expect. And I think I'm getting close to 3 years in O'Vale. And the last one that I absolutely didn't expect is that I downloaded Duolingo 3 days ago, and I'm 3 days of learning Irish. So I think 25 is a year of changes, and hopefully for the best. And one big surprise is that I actually got inspired in French tonight. So if I think it's a project that's going to be keeping going, and if it's actually leads to something, I know it will be upon here tonight. So sorry if my voice cracks. Je prends le pari, encore une fois. À tout moment, un autre en poche, un dans la manche. À quel moment découvrira-t-on la tricherie? Le jeu se déroule dans les yeux de l'autre. Un sourire, un clin d'œil. Qui se détournera en premier? D'un bout à l'autre de la table, à chaque extrémité et au milieu, des vapeurs de stress, de transpiration. Silence. Respirez doucement. Ne rien trahir. Roi de pique, dame de cœur, valet de carreau, as de trèfle. Qui gagne la partie? D'un coin de regard, je scrute le meneur de jeu. Digne, calme, droit face à nous. Lui ne tremble pas, il sait. Ce que nous découvrirons peu à peu. Le gong sonne, première manche.
Thank you, Roxanne. Always lovely to hear your native tongue. Lovely. And next up, we have Patricia Walsh, please.
Thank you. And this is called Remembering a Slow Bullet. My recommended fluency is the perfect path. The pragmatic marriage suits the pernicate. This time is of the essence in a foreign land. A multi-instrumental calling a holistic hello. I haven't enough information to unhorse you. Seated upstairs, away from distant satisfaction. The anonymous literature likewise disappoints. Your side sweets killing what's left of the unwary. But disappear for grub in a likely takeout. An academic stasis, a prerequisite for living. I long for the printed page to absolve all else. The timely massacre drunk on payment. Being his usual gruff self, uncommunicative like Flint. Cooking the virtuous meal, good like that. Your day is fantastic at a moment's prodding. He falls in the opposite apology under duress. You are heard through doorways and given gripe. Alcoholic tirade still in the bedrooms. Covert, wishing for sleep, not filled for now. I ask for trouble if I wish to speak up, abridged. I cling out to sanity, milling through the evening. Formulaic satisfaction wipes the table clean. Hoover the living area, squeezing through hygiene. Nose is kept clean for want of a better application. Thanks.
Thank you, Patricia. Next up, where is he? Philip Splann, what have you got for us?
I say quickly, I listened to Max Creedon's album as soon as I heard the news, and it's very beautiful how different someone's artwork changes when they you know, pass on, to say it bluntly, excuse me. But her album, it says beautiful words, beautiful melodies. I love the way that she just grew so much with playing the guitar. And she was a pleasure, a friend to know. And I think she's actually one of the first friends I've made here at Avail. One of the first people I got to know. And thank you for that. So this is based off one of the 5-word challenge words that were released every month. And it's based off a piece of mythology I wrote called Yaxel, the King of Rivers, but I've kind of changed it a little bit. Do giants eat rivers or we? On a chippy January from my hilltop, I saw the apparition amble slothily along the heavens. Drifting against backdrop of clouds, a lone shadow without a master. As it steepled over Cork City, It reached down and stole the River Lee. It pulled it up like a great eel, peeling it from Inniscarra and Carrigrohan. With the sun piercing through the ribbon of water, it shimmered similar to stainless steel. You could see 44 bridges glisten against the river like belt buckles, and a rowing boat centipede up against gravity. Swans haloed around the giant's bulk. They looked like albino flies. Hoisting the river over its shoulder, the giant gently escaped, a fine catch for a robber of rivers. The next day, I descended from Temple Hill to witness the damage. The great fissure crack was left along the Lee fields, and the only bridge that was left was the shaky bridge. It was shell-shocked, stock still. I remember when it shifted in the breeze. As I crossed, I saw a naked riverbed, a colourful patchwork of human waste. Exposed, it was magnificent. It makes me ponder, do giants eat rivers, or we? The honest result, were those artificial trees installed in 2021, the ones I'm talking about, those pillaring hives on Patrick Street and the Grand Parade, they are bleeding green with life, full of fungi, like a city council scheme gone right. A wild, ironic homage to the banks of the River Lee, gone.
Thanks, Philip.
You can just start laughing in the back there now.
Our last trip online for the night, Massimo.
Hey, so Nikki Giovanni is a poet who just passed away recently, and a famous quote of hers is, "Music and poetry are very good friends, like mommies and daddies and strawberries and cream, they go together." And that made me think of Mags. So I found an extremely short poem, and I thought I'd dip some live music into it. Real short. Oh, and I can't play instruments. I'm just, I appreciate Mags very much. I heard people tell me that it's sad to say, happiness may last a day, but it too shall pass away. But either way, I show you love as you pass this way. 'Cause even if we have to go, this love has to stay. Peace. Thank you.
Thank you, Massimo. Thank you so much. Mags has given us a lot of courage tonight, isn't she? We have two readers left. And believe it or not, Ciarán McCartan is not the last one. This is the second last one. And we will look forward to Cathal after Ciarán. All right. Double trouble. There we go.
Nice one. Yeah, it's been really, really special to hear so many beautiful tributes paid to Mags tonight. And yeah, she's one of the nicest people I've ever had the pleasure of knowing. Such a kind soul and so warm and so creative and so full of optimism and life and creativity and yeah, a real pleasure to have to know. And Thank you very much, Bobby, for your words earlier. I thought they were absolutely beautiful, and it was an honor to be there at the services, at the removal and at the funeral, and really thought the whole thing was really so beautifully handled by the family and by everyone you know. And I think your words tonight were absolutely outstanding, and it's a credit to you all and a credit to Max. I remember one time I broke the middle metatarsal on my right foot playing football. 3 minutes into the game, right, got a pass from the centre midfielder, went to kick it wall up the line. The winger came in with his studs, broke the middle metatarsal on my right foot. And after I was recovering from that injury, I was talking to Mags about it and what a dead it was at O'Vale, and she called over to my gaff during the week afterwards, because she's a physio, you know, and she called over with like stretches to do. This was after I kind of recovered from the injury a bit, and she just gave her whole afternoon to like rehabilitating my foot so I could go back playing football, because she knows how much I like to go play football. And that was the kind of person she was, you know, and she was an absolute gem, and she had a lot to go through and a lot to handle in her life, and she really did it in a very, very beautiful way, an honourable way. So, love you, Max. I'll read you this poem now if I can find it. Here we go. So there, a couple of years ago, my pal Sean, he developed this space called The Shed, from like an actual shed into a place that he eventually lived in, and then very dramatically and very traumatically it burnt down a couple of years ago. And so this is for Sean and The Shed, and it's called Everyone Needs Space. Everyone needs space, and this the one that did for us warrants great gratitude, the incubator of our young lives, since you first turned your gaze towards it in this spirit of enterprise. Us looking at Kurucs at eye level, barely the strength in our arms to move a boat or give a hand towards the shifting of a shape. And I look at the shape of your young hands and see the dust falling from a rough edge made smooth. Hear the clang of a hammer bringing a common nail to split ends, unifying isolated timbers. I see your hands run cable to pair of speakers to give voice to Nate Dogg, Ludacris, Avicii. Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling. Shawnee says there's something to be shown. Seems as though the space has grown as it shrinks in proportion to the more of us filling it. The wider smile meeting the new work, the longer arms pointing to animate the evolution, the analysis of potential. Night seen through. From a child's preparation, teenage inclination to adult limbs spread across soft cloths and sheepskins. The seats of a deceased van holding Hugh as he attempts to prise loose the smooth timber block, tempting the stability of Jenga. Giving while taking, Maddie on the hip-hop snuff box and cap shots, cans of Prasky and dancing daftly. Everyone needs space and you've lit yours well, custom made by the artist under patent of the contemporary dartists. Rope lights and airsoft bricks, foresight and clever tricks, a bell jar lined with an image of the Golden Gate Bridge, Natural Geographic, bulb rigged and a switch flicked. Easy on the eye comes refuge while running from the thick of it, swearing to God through blood spit, the cast aside of cast themselves upon you in a furied fit, fractured bones for a scratched itch, broken glass and taken statement, space for patient recuperation, then at the base of operation.
generations. Wash your face there in that basin and just think, when it becomes a sink, we'll never be short a drop to drink. And Kierjo, I've been thinking, why stop at a kitchen? Phil can get us one of those big tanks and Rab can bend the copper. And as we go by no half measures, a hot tub would be whopper. Everyone needs space, and you've made yours to share, to facilitate who might be there, spare glasses and extra chairs, a space birthed in to entertain, ended in company, took no one with it. A space reborn to house, began empty, has you and yours to fill it. Nilain hinton mer de hinton fain, bear me de rafson, said Lekela. The last time I was in there, I had to dip to enter, and now I stand here and remember at full height. You have shared your safe chamber, it has shaped us like a seed husk. Now we turn to face the future from the phoenix. Tommy der Ashton said Lekela e Kaintogus e Goira frac ella cona raw och mila buegus.
Nice one, Kieran. Before Carl comes up, I just want to check, did anybody else want to join the open mic or say a few words that were missed? Okay, Carl Nolan.
Lads, I fully, firmly believe there is a long valley in the next world. And Mags and Mary and Joe and Owen and the rest of the crew are up there with Sappho and Amrigan and Bridget and Heaney writing limericks about each other, and that one day they'll be up there too writing limericks about all of you. All of you, and every filthy of them. Awesome lyrics. I don't have any lyrics today though. What I would like to do, O'Vale is like, this incarnation of O'Vale is winding down, and I wanted to do what I think is the first poem that I ever said in O'Vale. I have on the top of this October 2011, which is around when I started coming. I think I was like 2 months into 20. And Pam, so good to see you. So lovely to see you. And the first time I heard the poem, shattered my heart in little pieces, and the second time I heard it, those pieces shattered again. Thank you. So this is the first poem I performed at OL, I think. It's like 50-50. There were two, I had two poems. It's a 50% chance. Let us look to fallen fruit, cut the core to find the truth. To find the pips, to plant the seeds, to spread the roots, to grow the trees, but mark the boundaries of our boundlessness, set rosaries of restlessness, and litanies of listlessness, built embassies of emptiness, where all the keys we found were blessed, and opened gates to wilderness, where we searched for why, to where, from whence, looked under seas and influence. From centre out to circumference, on mountain tops we pitched our tents. We crept through clefts and climbed to crests, where bumblebees had feathered nests of warp and weave and woof and weft, of time and space and length and breadth. We swore solemn oaths to never part with such a path as held such art, as columns sprung from nature's heart, as lightning's lungs spit Zeus's darts. We tracked chariots across the sky, when all was done, lay down to die. We greeted death from western haze, and we did life from eastern blaze. The lessons learned we can't express. Each moment, magic, made, and blessed. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. Last chance if anyone wants to share anything. No, I wasn't pointing at myself there. Now I've done enough tonight now, Philip. I'll be back next month. Thank you though, thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. You're the hard crew. You've held it out all night. Here we are. We're going to get a drink together and celebrate. Thanks so much for everyone who joined the five word challenge, for Roisin Leggett-Bone who won, for all of our creative writing students. If they were still here, I would read out all their names, but look, all of our creative writing students. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, na 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 na. Do 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 do. Okay, especially John O'Boyle and Leah Socha. But as well as that, we had James Carroll, Lucy Pereira, Jessica Anna Rose, Andy McNamara, and Angelia De Souza. They were fantastic, weren't they? It was always a special night. Thank you so much for that. And yeah, everyone who shared on the open mic, I'm sure there'll be tributes for Mag, you know, happening for the next few months. And I did want to mention that with the new Avail entity, all right, that's a strange way to put it, isn't it? But we would like to create an event to give that more space and to allow for more tributes to Maz, and maybe have a little exhibition of her work in the room. Would be nice, wouldn't it? Cover all the maps. So I think that'd be fantastic, and there'll be a few months down the line. So if there's a lot to take in tonight and to put into words, then you know, take your time. And and Pam Campbell. Pam Campbell. Somehow we found each other, O'Vale and Pam, and here we are. We hope to see you back again. Yeah. And thanks your daughter Sarah for joining you as well. Pardon? And Adeola has come from England as well, excuse me, Adeola. Yeah, it's been phenomenal. Thanks again to Long Valley and for everyone, just great night. Talk to you soon. We're going to Green Lane. We're going to Green Lane.
Happy birthday, Michelle!